You're listening to Reaching Higher, presented by Olu Akintuni, pastor of Higher Life Christian Center.
Have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus came in a real body, and there are some people like that, and that was a problem they had in that day, was that some of the people who were these teachers denied that Jesus actually came in the flesh. So basically, they were denying his humanity. He goes on to say that they deny that Jesus came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. A deceiver and what? An antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Now, even though he was dealing with a specific group who were teaching a false Christ at the time, it does not do away with some of the false teaching that we have today in the body. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no real relationship, has no relationship with God. But everyone who remains in the teaching of Christ has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, if anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, you hear that? If anyone comes to your meeting and he does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. Anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. That's a very scary scripture. And I think it was one day, I've read it before, but probably didn't register, but I think there was a day that I believe my wife, Sharon, actually read it and showed it to me, and that it registered then, and I saw it. And you don't even encourage them. What's so sad with us is that we know that there are false teachers in the world, we're even aware of some of them, and we still send them money. We still send them money. We still continue with the partnership. We still empower them to perpetuate the lie. Because probably people have been programmed. And maybe because some people have, they've got to a point where they deify the person. So that person is big to them, but God is small. If you don't know, that's different. But when you do know, it becomes a problem. In their mind and in their life. If anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. It says, anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. That's a very, very strong statement by John. Very, very, very strong statement. Which, if you say that today, people would say that you're basically judging them. If we turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans 16, verse 17. Romans 16, 17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. Romans 16 and verse 17. So can we see that? Because a lot of us sometimes we want to be politically correct, because political correctness is the thing that has taken over the whole world, even the church. The NLT says, Now I want to make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. They start to teach things contrary. Telling you about an end time wealth transfer where all Christians are going to be rich is a lie. It's not in the Bible. Never was, never will be. Not going to happen. But yet we continue to follow these teachers. We yet continue to prop them up. Yet we continue to pay. We're just as guilty when we stand before God. Particularly when we know that it's a lie. And we continue to support it. Amen. Or not believing in the virgin birth, or not believing in the deity of Christ or his humanity and all those things, and we still hang out with these folks? Amen. Teaching some kind of immorality and all stuff and saying it's cool and kosher, and you still hang out with them? You still prop them up with your money? Amen. This is in the light of the discussion we've just had. I've just said maybe, and Paul advises them. He says, you know what? Keep away from them. Don't hang out with them. Don't be party to that. Don't be party to that, because then you become a partaker of whatever it is that they're doing. Look at what Paul said when they were teaching about the law versus and faith in Christ in Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. Paul said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preached, let that person be under God's curse. I know. If they're not coming correct, then obviously, then, you know. But in this case, they were teaching that people need to go back to the law. And the law is what would justify them before God. So that was the context. But in our day, there are different variations of the gospel that are not the gospel. And that's why I said to you at the beginning of the year, Christianity without sacrifice is not Christianity. It's not. Christianity without you having to put something on the line. This convenience Christianity where I target your needs, so I want to get a lot of marriage couples in, so I do a marriage seminar here. I believe in those things in terms of reaching out to the marriage, giving them scripture and encouraging them in their marriage. And don't get me wrong, but where it's solely, and what I'm trying to say is that consumerism, you're looking for a gap in the market, you know. And so it's not telling people what they need to hear, you tell them what they want to hear. And that, to me, when you start going down those routes, you're going to have to water down the gospel in order to meet that need. Because we as human beings, it's very hard to please us. Actually, it's not really that hard. Just cater to our flesh will be okay for most of us. What am I saying? And that's the thing. If you tickle our ears a lot, tell us something we've never heard before, help us to sound intelligent, you know, massage our egos and all that stuff, most likely you'll be able to keep us happy. So it's not about keeping people coming to keep them happy, but telling them the truth that they need to hear. And so I'm going to end this quickly by just looking at something we looked at Bible study, but I want us all, for the benefit of those who couldn't log in, to see this. Let's look at Paul in Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read the NLT for this one because I know that seems to be the majority version we've got in the house. Oh, where will I go? Where will I go? Pick it up from verse 16. It says, Paul had decided to sail on past Ephesus, for he didn't want to spend any more time in the province of Asia. He was hurrying to get to Jerusalem, if possible, in time for the festival of Pentecost. When we landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. So he sent for the elders. These are the leaders of the church in Ephesus. Acts chapter 20, 1 verse 17. So we go to verse 18. It says, when they arrived, he declared, you know that from the day I set foot on the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. Wow, a broken man. Humbly and many tears. Paul has been preaching the word to these guys. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. He told them what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. So people come to us, come to you, they want to hear something. And depending on the kind of your makeup, whether you like to please men or like to please God, you either tell them what they need to hear or what they want to hear to keep them happy. And sometimes what you really need to hear, and we all know that in life, sometimes what you really need to hear might not be the thing that will make you smile and say glory, hallelujah. You know that. We go on. But Paul did this. He says, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I have one message for the Jews and Greeks alike. The necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is not even a message that a lot of us like to preach nowadays. The necessity of what? Turning or repenting from sin and turning to God. Which is the whole essence of this whole thing. And having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So regardless of what anybody is into, you come into the family of believers, that is the essence of what we're going to communicate to you. Repenting from sin, turning to God, and having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now I go bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. Now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lies ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. You see, he talks about the wonderful grace of God, but prior to that, he talks about repenting from sin. So it's not repenting from sin is not inconsistent with the message of grace. Although some people want to take that out. That's false teaching. It's not inconsistent with it. He goes on to say, and now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again, because that's what he thought at the time. He says, I declare today that I have been faithful. This is the man talking to them about their, and I pray that when I breathe my last breath, I'll be able to say that about High Life Christian Center, wherever the Lord places me in the future. He says, I declare to you that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it is not my fault. This is very strong. This is very strong. So, for I did not shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. Why? Because for you to say what God wants people to know sometimes is to cause you to shrink sometimes. It's not very, very popular. It's not something that will make people say, oh, glory, hallelujah. And so you can shrink from it and damn people's souls. Even while they're sitting in the pew and singing praise and worship. If you don't tell people the truth. So, look at the advice he gave them. Are you with me? He says, so guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock. See, he didn't say your flock. God's flock. So you guys are God's flock. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Not my flock. God's flock. He says what? He says you should do what? Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church. Purchased with his own blood. Over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. So the people belong to God. He is the one who did the purchasing with his own blood. They don't belong to what? the pastor. They don't belong to the pastor. Are you with me? He goes on to say that I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. False teachers are vicious wolves. They don't care about the flock. They just want to take advantage of the flock. And Paul was warning them, look, I know that these guys are coming and they're going to really, really just rip people to shreds. Take advantage of them. Use them. Abuse them. But then the one that really makes you think, he says, even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. These guys will distort the truth. And the whole reason is to draw people after them, so that people will be loyal to them, so that people will think that they're cool and the orthodox teaching of Christ isn't. Even some from your own group will rise up and distort the truth, water down the truth, twist the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. That's what he said. Remember that three years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. 33. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example to you. I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. When he finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them. They all cried as they embraced and kissed him goodbye. They were sad most of all because he said that they would never see him again. Then they escorted him down to the ship. So you can kind of get the picture of what happened. But look at the advice he gave about false teachers. And also the advice that even from within the group, people will rise up in leadership and say things that draw people after them just by distorting the truth. And if you look at the church world, there are many people who have done that. Put their own spin on things just so that it sounds palatable to the modern mind. And they draw many after them. So we've got to be very careful about the gospel that we present. We've got to be very careful about the gospel that we preach. Repentance from sin is not a dirty word. The word sin is not a word that we should shy away from because people don't understand it and people will think you're judging them. Please. Please. Let's not be deceived. Amen. And let's not prop up people who teach a gospel that is not consistent with the gospel in the Bible. Amen? I know that it's war. I know that it's rough. I know it's tough. But like Paul said, most times when you deal with people, when I do, people want you to tell them what they want to hear. Some people do. And the moment you tell them what the Bible wants to say, what the Bible says, they get upset and they turn against it. And they will say, you're small-minded, narrow-minded, you're not thinking right, that's what Christians are seen as, you know. But it's okay. It's fine. Call me narrow-minded, call me whatever you want to say. But I'll stick with the word. At least I won't be against the word. If you you know, want to be against it, you know, that's your own, it's your choice. But I wouldn't want to be against the word. Amen? So I just felt I should share that with you. I know it's short today and we've had a good, wonderful discussion. But, and I know not everybody can log on, I understand. But in your own private Bible study, read it. Read the book. Read it through. Understand the context. There are good tools out there. I mean, the things that we need to read, the study Bibles are cheaper than ever before because you can even get them in digital format where you don't have to pay so much money for all these big libraries and stuff like that. But really actively engage your mind and your heart in learning about your faith. Praise God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We give you praise and we give you glory because your word gives us light and understanding. Father, continue to strengthen our hearts so that we can live for you in these dark days. Lord, let our light shine before men. You've told us to do that, Lord. And we want our light to shine before men that they may give glory to you. Because we don't belong to ourselves, Father. We belong to you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints say, amen. God bless you.